Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifterzilla, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and welcome to another episode of Coffee Talk. So today, I am so excited to bring you an episode all about designer and luxury goods and consigning with The RealReal. I have Jack back with me. You may know him as Jack Valentine on YouTube or Flipped Thrift on Instagram. He was also on the podcast previously with his partner, Ryan. And we are going to sit down and just give you the ins and outs of what it's like to consign with The RealReal, what you should expect, and the reality behind what brands sell well on that platform and don't. You guys have been asking for this episode for quite some time, so I'm really excited to provide it to you, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Thrifterzilla. I am here with Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hello, everybody.
Everyone's been waiting for this episode. So I'm really excited. Lori was going to try to come on, but she is busy today. So Jack and I, it's just us. Just me and you.
Yeah. We've been wanting to make this episode for quite a year.
Literally one year.
Yes.
So today's episode is about the highly requested The RealReal. Everyone's been asking about The RealReal. Everyone wants to learn more about it. People want to learn about the luxury brands. I have my hypothesis on it, which we talked about and we'll get into. But before we get into all of that, why don't you introduce yourself to some people who may not know who you are? Jack was on the podcast a few episodes ago with Ryan. So yeah, go back and listen to that.
So I am Jack. On YouTube, I'm Jack Valentine, and on Instagram, I'm Flipped Thrift. I'm known for being with Ryan the Thrift Finds. I make YouTube videos about Poshmark and reselling, and I used to make a lot of RealReal videos. I haven't kind of for a while, but that's because I always think they come off as boring, but I know a lot of people like them too, so I'm glad to be finally putting out some more RealReal information. But yeah, I sell on Posh and a little on eBay and Mercari, and I like to send a lot into The RealReal.
Yes, my kind of guy. I have a question. Why Jack Valentine on YouTube?
My middle name's actually Valentine.
Ah, there you go. I was like, what's Jack's middle name?
It used to be like the most embarrassing thing to me ever. And people actually used to pick on me in like elementary school for my middle name, Valentine. Like I literally got like bullied for it once and I hated it. And now it's like my favorite thing ever. And I wish it was my actual last name.
Yes, like, because it's like your alter ego on social media.
Yes, and I love it.
It's perfect. There's no other Jack Valentine. You type in Jack Valentine, it's just you that comes up. So
yeah.
It's great. Yes, perfect. I always wondered that. I was like, Valentine, is that his middle name? It's definitely not his last name. Yeah. I know it's not his last name. Make sure you guys follow Jack if you don't already, which I'm sure most of you do, but if you don't, subscribe to his YouTube channel. That's actually how I first learned about The RealReal, was through Jack's YouTube videos. I don't remember what exactly I was searching, or maybe I was on your YouTube channel and one of them came up while I was watching videos, and that's how I learned what The RealReal was, and I kind of went down this whole rabbit hole of The RealReal with your videos. So for me, I found your videos very helpful, and I think anyone who's first starting out with The RealReal would find them helpful, even though I still watch them, because I think even if you are constantly selling on that platform, there's always something new that you can learn, and different brands that other people pick up that you might not recognize, but you've seen that you know that you can send in. So I found it helpful. So if you do them again, I'll still watch them.
Thank you. Yeah, I usually just like would list off like more than the more recent ones. I would just like list off what sold and what they accepted, which I thought kind of got boring. But way back, I had made like actual like how-tos and how to send stuff in that's not like on their designer list and stuff. But I had made those because like I was super interested in it too. I think I heard about it. Someone had like some reseller, I don't know who, had mentioned it in a video. And they gave no information on it really. They just said like, this I'm sending in, this I'm sending in. And I was like, why? Like, why are you sending these designer things to this place? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And so I looked into it, and then I tried so hard to find like YouTube videos about it, and there was just nothing, like, at all. Like, not a single video about consigning. Like, maybe some hauls of, like, people buying stuff from them.
There's also videos of, like, people shaming the RealReal and, like, not getting authentic items from the RealReal. Yes. So there's the videos.
My bad experience. Yes. Like, my Louis Vuitton was damaged or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, there was, like, nothing for the, like, consigning side. So I was like, well, I'm going to figure out how to do this. And then I'm going to make a video on how to do it because no one else is talking about it.
Right. Yeah. And I think you kind of paved the way for that in like in our little reseller community that we have, because most people associate the RealReal and the videos with you. So you've kind of like, that was your thing that kind of set you in that direction. And people kind of look to you for all these luxury goods and information. So you're like the little guru in the community, which is great. I'm sure there's others out there. But...
which is good, because like, I love using them. So like, I'm totally fine when people like reach out about it, because like, I'm not like paid or anything. I literally just like love using them. And whenever I say like, oh, like you should try sending it, you should try this there, it's like, there's no one pushing me to say that. Like I genuinely really like to use
them. I agree with you. I'm in the same boat. So I have been sending to them for the last year, and people always ask me, well, what do you do with all these different things that you find? The majority of stuff I find that's really good, I don't list myself. I'm not listing you know, Fendi and Prada and Gucci, like on occasion, yes, I'm just sending it off. And, you know, we'll get into like the convenience of it all. But if whatever work I don't have to do, great. I'm all for it. And their customer service and everything about the RealReal is just great. Like responsive. Yeah. You don't have to pay to get items back for now. Yeah. And hopefully that stays that way. You know, and they just, they're a different market. They market to different people. They have actual stores. So if you send them a really great piece that they think they can put into a store, they will. It won't just be on the website.
One time I had one of my items be marked as like in the LA store. And I was like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. It was like a Bottega Veneta wallet that was literally in like brand new condition, basically, and it said like on hold or something, and I was like, and it said it for like days, and I was like, what's going on? And then it finally went off hold, and it said like at the LA location.
Oh wow, that's amazing. That's like big time when you have an item sent up to the store. I have yet to go into a store. I know there's two, I think, in New York City, but I have yet to go to see.
They just got one in Chicago.
Oh, so that's not far from you.
Finally, we had just been to Chicago like 2 months ago, and I was hoping they had one there, but they only did like, you could consign at some location there.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like a store, but now they have a store there. And so in March for my birthday, I want Ryan and I to go to Chicago again.
Yes.
I'm going to get it all as credit that month, all my payment. Yep. And I'm going to like go off at the store.
Oh my God. I don't blame you. I would totally do the same thing too. Just to experience like what the store is like, because their customer service online is great, which I'm sure in the store it's going to be even better. And just the experience of touching the items and seeing it and everything. And I'm sure the pieces that go in there are amazing.
Yes. And with how they like try to like paint themselves out to be and stuff, I have a feeling they kind of try to treat it like a Louis Vuitton store, like a Chanel. You probably go in, they probably give you like water.
Yes,
they probably
exactly.
Oh, which would be so fun.
I know. You have to document that entire process. Yes. Hopefully next year, my sister and I will be able to go to New York, because my sister and I always go to New York. It's only 4 hours away on the bus. It's not far from me, but we usually go 2-3 times a year, but with what's going on in the world, we haven't gone this year. So I'm hoping next year we'll get to go for her birthday, and I'll get to go there for the day, because I'll probably spend all day in there staring at everything. And literally, I might actually bring in items to consign while I'm there.
I'll try that too.
Right? Just to see like what the process is like in person and how easy of a transaction it would be. Like, it'd be fascinating to see that side of it.
Yeah. I'm always interested. So like online, they make it sound like they stick to their designer directory like to a T, which at this point,
they don't.
So I always wonder, like, if you did an in-person one, if they are more like that, or if they're also like relaxed and they're just kind of like, oh yeah, we'll take all that stuff. I don't know.
I think it would depend on what it is that you're bringing in. I feel like it depends on the season. It depends on so many different things. So like right now I'm sending a bunch of sweaters, and I'm sending so much stuff right now because Christmas time, people are shopping on there and they are selling things so fast, and I'm like, I need to get more boxes out the door, right?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I feel like all the sweaters and jackets and things that I'm sending that aren't on their brand list, they're just taking because they know that this is like their busiest time. Now it's end of November into like January is like their busiest time on the real. And if you want to send stuff, now is the time to do it. Like, get it out the door.
I literally today dropped off 3 huge boxes. I think it was a total of like 75 items for the 3 combined. So that's like
awesome.
Yeah. I had a lot of heavy boxes.
Yeah, I had one yesterday too. And I walked in the door and like I had it on my shoulder. I was like big and awkward. And I opened the door and the girl was like, "Are you okay? Is that too heavy?" I was like, "Just take these clothes from me and send them as soon as you can.
Like, please move it along.
Move it along as fast as the truck's right there. Can you put it on the truck for me? Yeah. I want them to get it tomorrow."
I know.
That's the beauty of being in Rhode Island is it goes to New Jersey. So within a day or almost 2, it's there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Pretty fast too. Mine's like maybe like 4 or 5 days, but
that's not bad.
Again, unlike other services that take kind of long.
We won't mention those places. No, but
yeah,
we'll talk about it though a little bit. Why the real and not ThredUp for you?
So I have tried ThredUp maybe 3 or 4 times now. First off, I started off trying the real first because like I'm a huge like luxury and designer junkie. Like that's just completely what interests me, whether it be super trendy designers or more like offshoot ones that people don't know about. I'm so into that. So right away that like clicked with me, and the ability to like learn new ones by using their service. I just am obsessed with doing that. But my like couple of ThredUp experiences were not good. Like they lost items of mine. They took like a millennia to do it. I don't like that you have to pay to get stuff back. It's just like, and their customer service when I lost my item was not good either. And I had already been used to the real because I had done the real first.
Right.
And so just like in comparison, I was like, this is dreadful. Like, yes, I love that I can like change a price or I can send them stuff that isn't necessarily like designer or good, but the customer service was not good. The speed was not good. Just the fact that they have to mail you a label.
Yeah.
I was like, are you like, is that like, that's crazy to me. I don't even understand why that is still how it works.
I think it's interesting because when I first used ThredUp was probably back in, I don't know, 2010, like something like that, when they first really started becoming a thing. Like people knew about them, but they were nothing like they are today. And I sent them handbags because I didn't feel like selling those myself, because I've always sold my handbags to get new ones myself ever since I was 16. But I'd sent them in just to try it and just to see, because they were more higher end, because at the time I think it was a Marc Jacobs bag, which back in 2010 that was a pretty big deal. You know, the Marc Jacobs bag had very different value in 2010 than it does now. So I did that, and I mean the process was pretty painless, but at the end I realized how much money I got paid out, and it was like nothing. It was just a waste of time for me, where I should have just sold it myself. And that was my first experience, and it always left a sour taste in my mouth. So when it came to actually like reselling stuff, I never looked to ThredUp for that, because the payouts just aren't great. I don't care how you mark things up. There's just certain pieces you'll never be able to get what it's worth on that platform. I don't like that you only have a certain amount of time to reclaim items. I don't like that you have to pay to get the items back. You know, I don't like all that stuff. Now they are a business and they're going to do whatever they want. And I totally support that, because that's their prerogative. That's what they do. That's their livelihood. But as a reseller trying to do it, not worth it. The average person sending in things that doesn't want to bother at reselling, then by all means, like, send your stuff in. You're going to get some kind of money back and use it as credits to buy something else. But now they've changed some things with their pricing, and the stuff that I send to them is stale inventory or donations that I get that I'm just not going to send, sell myself. I'll send those in. So I don't care. Like, it's whatever money. I was probably going to donate it anyway, so I don't care what you get.
Well, and like items, don't they expire within like 90 to 120
yeah,
days?
Yeah, but like some items, I feel like somehow get regenerated every time I look. I'm like, wait, it's wasn't like, this 40 days last week? Yeah. 60?
Something weird about like if someone puts it in their cart, even if they don't buy it, it somehow like gets another 30 days or something.
Yeah, I don't get
like
that.
People can have it in their cart for like 24 hours, which is also a little weird because then that cuts off anyone else being able to buy it during that time.
Yeah.
It's just, it's even like the little things. I just don't really like most of the ways that it works on ThredUp.
Yeah.
Like most of their products.
I agree with you. Even with like, so the Real Real has a limit on how long you can have something in your cart, but it's like 15 minutes. So it 20, will,
yeah.
Is it 20 or 15?
I think it's 20 minutes, yeah.
20. It's one or the other. So, but that's, I mean, in terms of like marketing, it makes the buyer feel like they have to buy it. Like it's going to expire. I need to make a decision really quick. I need to buy it. Where if it's in a cart for 24 hours, the person will just leave it there and then never go back to it. I've done it. Yeah. So.
Yes, I know.
I don't know.
Well, that's, and like I said, it like completely cuts off someone else being able to come in and buy it that whole time versus the Real Real. If it expires out of your cart, someone else can snatch it up right away.
Correct.
So,
which as a seller, you like that aspect of it.
In my opinion.
Also, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
In my opinion, I always think that ThredUp is more for like people to consign. I think that's kind of what they want, is like the average person to consign. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were built as a platform for resellers to come in and like profit off of. Yes, you can, and yes, people do, obviously, but I don't think that's really what they want and that's what they're going for. And I think that's why some of these like tools work the way they do, like the expiring items and like moving stuff through quickly and marking things down and whatever, is because they want to move stuff through fast for people that don't really care about how much money it's making, kind of.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I think that's why they came out with all their new rules and regulations and policies, right? They, in my opinion, I don't know if it's true or not, I have no facts to back this, but I think they're trying to push the reseller out because everyone tags them in Instagram posts. Everyone talks about them on YouTube. If you don't think their PR people are looking at that stuff and you've got an
update,
like you don't, clearly you don't know how marketing works. They are viewing all of it and they don't want you on there.
Yes.
They don't want you
and
on.
And I think we probably cause like a lot of problems for them because we're all like over here buying the rescue boxes and then complaining about them, or we're like complaining about things that we are right now and stuff, and they probably just don't want to deal with that. Like they can just have the average person that comes to consign their items and, like I said, doesn't care about how much it makes or what it's marked at or if it expires, right? Or
I completely agree. So I'm sorry if you're listening and you like ThredUp.
Yeah,
Jack and I are on the opposite end of that.
Yeah, I have always just preferred, I mean, like, luckily for me, the couple places I've lived, I've had, like, decent, normal consignment stores near me that, like, give me an okay amount on items that's, like, stale inventory, mm-hmm. like you said. So I've just totally preferred, like, in-person consigning over ThredUp. It's just, like, almost the same process, except so much less of a headache to just do in-person consigning.
Yeah, and I think when you rely on one service in particular, and this could go for the Real Real too, I'm sure there's people out there that just source specifically for the Real Real and they don't have any other platform. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is they can change anything at any given moment. And you can be out all of your money. You have no idea when your next paycheck's going to come. And now to even get all your stuff could be a process in itself. And now you have to pay to get all of these items back. And now you're already in the red. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. I was just telling Lori the other day, I wish there were better buy sell trade stores around me. There's a couple of consignment, like small little boutiques, but it doesn't work like a Buffalo Exchange or something like that. Like these are very high end consignment boutiques. Like you're going to get what you get and, you know, they're probably going to reject the majority of it. Like it needs to be pristine. Like they have a very particular clientele. And then we have a Plato's. So it's like, I don't really have that around me. I'd have to go into Boston, which I could do, but that would be like a trip. Like I'd have to drive into Boston, make sure I have different thrift stores I'm going to. Like it would have to be like, it has to be worth it for me. I have to, I have to drive 50 miles to get there. So that's a good portion of my day. I mean, an hour without traffic, maybe two with traffic, plus stopping at each place, paying for parking. Like, it's a process. So I could do it, but it's not really worth it. My friend Jill, who has been on here too, had an idea, and she said that we should open up a Buffalo Exchange here in Rhode Island and give Plato's run for its money, which who knows? Maybe we'll do it someday.
I get people like using ThredUp if they're more in like a situation like that, because you don't really have other options. I just, since I have had other options, I've never really wanted to try too much with ThredUp. It's just not.
The other thing too is it's whatever gives you joy. And I think for both of us, finding that luxury piece, because we both love fashion, sending it to the real gives us more joy than sending, I don't want to say basic, but like mall brands and different, you know, more generic type pieces you can find everywhere to ThredUp. You can send them the luxury good, but it's it has a different connotation to it than sending it to the real. It's just the way that it is. I think if you appreciate fashion, you lean towards the real.
Yes. And they have that market so well. Like, they have that one down. So, like, you know, when you're sending the luxury item there, that it's going to be seen by the people that are looking for something like that. Whereas in, like, ThredUp, someone's scrolling through a bunch of Maurice's and American Eagle, and then all of a sudden there's, like, a Gucci, and then there's more American Eagle, and, like...
Yeah. It's kind of all over the place, and things are unbranded a lot of the times. Like, how many times do we see on Instagram people find unbranded stuff and it's like some crazy good brand, you know?
Literally, like, spell out Christian Dior, like, on search. And I'm just like, what in?
I know. Or even like they're photographing, like, things will be upside down. And I mean, they are not meant to run the business that they're running, which I think is why they're making the changes that they are. But I also think that it's shifting and people want to start joining the real and learning more about it and all of that. And it's okay, you can join the real, but I think you need to be a little realistic as to what that means, because Jack and I have really great experiences and we've had not so great experiences with the way items are priced. And I think you just need to know what it is you're going to get and if it's worth it for you to even do it, because you're not going to make a killing every time.
Yeah. We both love them and have many positive things to say, but definitely they're not like perfect. Like, of course, like, there's things that I've like not been happy about, or like you said, pricing especially, I'm sure would be a big thing for a lot of people on certain things. But
yeah, I think if people are used to pricing their own item on ThredUp, you're going to come over to the real and be like, why is this only $40 or $50? And I'll tell you why. And it's, you can ask a consultant this anytime. We'll talk about the process of sending things in. But if you ask anyone that works at the real, they'll tell you, in order for it to move quickly, which is their whole motto, is they need to price it at this price point. This is what people are willing to pay. This is what it's going to be priced at. You can recall an item at any time that you want. If you see it priced at $40, $50 and you don't like it, you can say, I want that back. And they'll come right back to you. But that's just how they do it. That's their motto.
Yes. And they basically have like an algorithm, because they base their pricing completely off of what similar items have sold for in the past. Like, I sent in like a pair of like Giuseppe Zanotti heels once, and they priced them, I don't know, like $75, like not much at all. And they literally, you can email them and ask them to raise the price. Usually they say no, but every once in a while they will buy a little bit. But they will respond to you with like a link to the same item that sold in the past. And they'll be like, we've only sold it for $75 in the past, so that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Like the exact same item. So like they have reason for their pricing. Yes, it can be upsetting sometimes, but we all know, just because like something is a specific brand doesn't mean you're going to make a ton of money off of it.
Right.
So that's what they work off of as well.
And I think when we start talking about brands, which we'll do next, I think it's important for people to realize, just because you hear a great brand doesn't mean it's actually worth what you think it's worth. Because that happens so often. It all depends on the style. It depends on when it was made. I mean, there's so many things that go into it. So let's talk about brands. People always want to know, what can I send to the real? And I always direct people, and I'm sure you do too, to their consignor list and what they accept. There are brands on there that I think people don't realize that they can send in. For example, the North Face. Patagonia,
yes,
Sorel, UGG, like they actually love those brands, and they price them fairly well. I have to say, like, the Patagonias and Sorels, I find in my experience, they've priced fair. It's been a fair price.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even UGG, I feel like UGG is, it's fair. Would I make the same amount if I sold it myself? No, but some items just sit and it's not worth it. And I just send that off. What are some other brands that you've sent in that aren't on their list? Because you can do this, and I've told people and they think I'm lying. Yes, you can. You can send them other things and they'll accept it.
Yes. You're technically not supposed to. When you order a label, I think you even check a box that says everything in this box is in the list, but you can, and they don't get mad at you.
No, they don't get mad. They just send it back to you or they accept it, one or the other.
Yeah, literally. One time I accidentally put a pair of Athleta leggings in there. Oh, and it's funny because they even entered it in as like Athleta leggings. So it was even like in their system, but like declined obviously. But like, but it's not like they like scolded me.
No, they don't scold. They're very nice about it. They're just like back to you in a nice duster. I'm trying to think.
I have sent in like Pendleton. Shockingly, they've taken Pendleton from me a couple times. Yes.
Vintage Pendleton?
I mean, I try to like the one, I think it was older. Yeah. I try when I send them Pendleton, because I have a few times, I try to make sure it's like nice, like really nice Pendleton. Like I sent them like a huge, like virgin wool, like long red coat. Because like, I do think they probably are like less picky brand wise if it's a nice item.
Right.
Like, whereas if I sent like a Pendleton t-shirt, they'd be like, no.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think. I mean, like, I don't know if fur is on their list because it's not really
a brand. I don't think it is, but I know you can send it.
Yes, but if you find like fur hats or like collars or something, they usually will take it. I should like look at my Real account, but yeah, there's definitely, I've sent in like Neiman Marcus.
Oh.
And they've taken it before. Huh. I do the same thing with Pendleton where I like try to pick out like this super nice stuff.
Yeah.
Like
I have sent them so much Armani and they accepted it.
Oh yeah.
They never used to, like last year they would never accept Armani, and this year they've started accepting it, and I'm okay with it because I'd rather send it there than right up. So I've just been slowly sending my Armani collection to them because it doesn't move on reselling platforms. There's like the rare piece that you can move yourself, but it's a very specific buyer for Armani. Like it is a very mature woman typically, or man, and it's usually, you know, they're very business professional, and it's got a look. Armani has a look.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah.
So I've definitely sent that in to them.
Yeah. But yeah, you can definitely, the one that I can never get away with, and I've tried so many times, and it's so annoying.
Tell me.
Eileen Fisher.
I can't believe you even tried.
I have tried so many times. If you look up, they have some Eileen listed, and they've had it in the past. So I'm like, you've taken it before.
So take it again.
I'm like, why will you not take it from me? Because I cannot move Eileen, and I do find some like decent Eileen pieces. But like,
let me see. They took Oscar de la Renta from me the other day.
Oh, really?
I think because it's a vintage piece, and it says in here vintage. Because you know how on the website they have a new vintage tab? If you go on the like desktop, there's a vintage tab on the left-hand side. And I think that's why they took it, is because they're accepting new vintage pieces, which makes sense because vintage is huge right now in the fashion world. So
They actually used in their like something like on their item list or somewhere in their like FAQ or whatever, they used to say that they didn't take vintage, even if it was on the list, which is weird. I don't know why. And they did, because I used
to. They absolutely take it.
Yes, even when they said that, I used to send them vintage, they'd take it. But and St. John. St. John is so off and on, because they will, I don't know if people know, but every month, at least every month, they change the list. Yeah. Like they'll add stuff, they'll take stuff off. And St. John like pops in and out, but I send it in all the time. And they usually
can't move St. John myself. Can you move it?
I can't. I have actually like gotten like a few to move. Just randomly, like out of nowhere. But like for the most part, no. I don't even like to pick it up, honestly, unless it's super cheap and I'm sending it to them. But yeah, I cannot sell it myself.
I've sold two pieces of St. John myself, and they've both gone to the same buyer. And she must work in like in either fashion or maybe she's on like a news anchor or something, because every piece that she's bought for me is more of like a fancy like dress or a blazer of some sort with rhinestones on it. So she obviously works in some type of field where this is what she looks for, and she likes St. John. So I'm very thankful that she made two purchases from me of over $100, but that is not the case at all. The St. John pieces I used to have, they just sit.
Yes. I would say if you are going to get St. John to sell, you got to get the like flashy, like rivets or embellished or maybe patterned, but even I've had patterned ones that don't even sell. Like usually you do have to get the like more interesting ones, which makes sense. Cause I mean, why do you want to spend that much money if you're just getting like a blue cardigan?
Right. But like, so let's talk about that. So, all right, we know some of the brands. So our number one recommendation is go through the list and then, you know, see what's on there and then just experiment and try sending them different things and see what happens. Sneak a few in the box and see what happens. They might send it back or they might accept it.
If you have a brand that you think is worth a lot, just search and see if they've sold it in the past. And if they have, you could try it, like me with Eileen, but that doesn't mean they're going to take it just because they've had it in the past, but they could, so.
Right, so definitely try it out. And I think once you see what items they've accepted, there's a whole process with it, right? So you've created your box, you send it off, they're going to go through it, they're going to process it. Their processing time is between 1 to 2 weeks, I would say, for them to go through your box. That doesn't mean they're photographing it or anything yet, but they're going through their box and they're telling you if it's accepted or if they're rejecting it and why they're rejecting it. So you get a whole little breakdown in your little app for the Real Real. Go ahead.
That was another thing that I really, really didn't like about ThredUp is you just get your stuff back in a box. There is no information. Right. There is no reason. There's no list. Like that, I did not like that at all because I'm like, well, why didn't you take this? I have no idea. Like,
I will say there are some times when the Real Real sends things back to me and says it's discolored or there's a stain or that there's a rip, and I look at it and I'm like, no, you just didn't want it. I'm sending it back to you.
Yes. Yeah, I know. That's so true. One of my boxes that they got like last week, they literally marked like everything as discolored.
Okay, and I was like, me too. So it wasn't just me. It was whoever was opening the boxes that week because every item came back as discolored.
Like, not even Yeah, I know.
So bad. I sent really, them all back and they took it all.
I know, and that's like always what happens. Yeah. So that's another thing with them too, is I think with the whole them taking stuff that's not on the list heavily depends on who goes through your box, which you don't know who's going to and you don't know who did technically. But if you just try stuff again, it's most likely going to be a different person. And some of them are pickier than others by far.
Yeah, I agree. And even when it comes to pricing, because I think this is the next step. So your items are accepted or rejected. You're going to get a box back within a few weeks' time, right, of all your rejected items. They usually don't send them right away. I feel like they process the entire box first. They do what they need to do with it, and then they send you your rejected items. Okay, cool.
Yes.
We've gone through that process. The next process is it's basically a waiting game for, I'd say, between 2 to 4 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks. It really depends on how busy they are, where they're going to go through your item. They're going to look it up. They're going to research. They're going to price it. They're going to create a description. You'll see all these things happening when you click on your item. It's really neat. You actually get to see the whole process of it. You see it all, right? It's full disclosure the whole time with them. And you may be surprised at how they price items. I know I am sometimes.
Yeah, I know, me too. In both directions.
Right.
Like, sometimes I'm like, why would you mark this so low? And then sometimes I'm like, holy crap. I didn't know that you would mark this high. Like,
right.
Yeah.
For example, Lafayette 148, they typically, if it's a blazer, they're pricing it over $100, which is nuts to me. But their pants, they're only like their trousers, between 50 and 75. That's like the range, right? So the pricing is going to vary depending on the item. If you're sending them a coat, I'm going to tell you right now, the coats are always priced fairly high, anywhere from the 130 to 700 and plus range. It really depends on the brand and what it is. If you're sending them pretty basic pieces, it's going to be $50 between 40 and 50. I feel like that's their range for very basic pieces, unless it's something very unique. It could be new at tag with a $500 price tag. It doesn't matter. It's going to be priced at 50.
Yep.
You know, that's just the way that it is.
There are specific categories that I feel like you can count on 50 to maybe 65 always. Like jeans, obviously, except like Gucci or whatever.
Right.
Like jeans, shorts, skirts. maybe like t-shirts if they're not graphic or anything, if they're just more like plain. Certain categories, it's like always $50. Yeah. Like no matter what. You said new tag or not. Super trendy, super old, low rise, high rise, flare, straight leg. Like it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I think when you're going into this, you need to have the expectation of it's very likely that every piece might be priced at $50. And you may be only getting a payout of 10 to 16, depending on where you are in your percentages, which that's a whole other thing that we'll talk about too. I've pulled items a couple times that I thought were worth more and I could sell for more myself. And I did, but it took longer. But I typically leave my items on there. What do you do, Jack?
Since I've learned the pricing ranges and stuff, I'm really not surprised by much anymore. Like when I find Kern Elliott, let's say, or Rag and Bone jeans or something at the thrift store, I'm like, let's see, I could sell this myself, but it's not that trendy. So I could send it to the RealReal, but they're going to mark it at 50. I'm going to make 14. So I usually still will skip them. So I usually leave everything there because I'm just not surprised anymore. I expect whatever price they're going to do.
The last item that I sent, one of the last items I sent to them was this Chloe. It's a vintage formal wear dress and it's beautiful. They had it priced at $175, which completely shocked me. But they sent me their comps on very similar dresses and they were between the 100 and 250 range. So this is the one and only time they've ever done this. They bumped the price up to 250 for me. I paid $349. I can't be mad, right? That's just the mentality you have to have as a reseller is, okay, I paid $349. If it sells for $150 or $250, whichever one ends up being, I'm okay with it. I'm still making money on it. And if I were to sell it myself, it would probably take a really long time. Because who's buying formal wear right now?
Yes, I know. And I will say with the pricing, you also have to keep in mind that they have a 20% off coupon that... I think they even say it's limited time or something, but it's never went away.
It's always on there.
And it applies to, I would say, 95% of items. There are exclusions, but that's only on stuff that's super trendy and super expensive.
Yeah, you're not going to get 20% off a Chanel handbag.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No. So when your thing's marked at 50, it's technically 40. it's actually not 50 even. So you have to factor that in as well. And over time, everything that coupon applies for, the 95% of items, gets marked down.
Right.
More and more and more and more. So you have to keep stuff like that in mind too. Even if you ask for a price raise, say you did, in 3 weeks, if it hasn't sold, it'll be back down to the
right.
175, 150.
Right. So. That's exactly it. And that's, so you're not doing any work when it comes to the RealReal. They're watching items. They already have it set in their system. When it's been, 2 weeks, it's going to be marked down at this price, 1 month, this price. And it just keeps going until it sells, until it basically gets to $10 or $15. Or I think it's 15. It's usually between 12 and 15. And then people just kind of, resellers come in like me and we start buying things. Because then we get a credit of some sort and then we do what we want with it. But so that can happen with pricing. Just be mindful of it. Some people have reached out to me and were surprised that things were priced really low. And I'm sure, Jack, people reach out to you too about it. And it's just, that's their business model. And you need to just learn how to work with it. And yes, your percentages get better with the more that you sell. There's a whole structure of percentages. But when you first start, you're basically at 40%. So keep that in mind. Depending on what you're sending in, you're only making 40% minus probably 20% of coupon. That comes out of your profit. Yeah.
Yes, which I will say, I think the main complaint I do get from people, including my mom, because I've gotten her to use the RealReal. The big complaint is that people say they don't make much or they end up making nothing on an item, which obviously can be true with some things. I mean, that happens even if you sell stuff on Posh. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't make anything. anything. Mm-hmm. But if you are someone coming from Thread Up, it's very similar where you kind of have to learn a lot. Like, you can't just send in all your luxury and just expect everything to be marked high. Like, you need to learn what they mark up, what categories they mark up, what mm-hmm. brands they mark up, and whatever, and then base what you're going to do with that item off of what you know.
Correct. I agree. Unless you're offloading items that you can't sell, right? And they're completely stale for you and you're just going to donate them. If you're at that point, then whatever you get is, it, I mean, it's great no matter what it is that they give you. So it's the same, like what I do for Thread Up, I do with The RealReal too sometimes. I'll hold on to items and I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, just bad buy, get rid of it. They'll sell it for me. I don't care if I make $6. On it, you know, it's money.
If you really wanted like a revenue stream, it's a lot of learning, I will say, like, for sure.
So I know you had mentioned the last podcast that you were thinking about making The RealReal more prominent in your business. Are you still there? Are you like, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not at that point. Like, I'm not at the point that like I would love to be at, because it's going to probably take a while to really mm-hmm. build up like the amount of items they have from me that are marked high.
Right.
But I would love to get The RealReal to be like a huge chunk of my income. That would be awesome, because mm-hmm. like we've talked about it, it's like no work, kind of. I mean, once you like learn a lot. Work. Yeah. But also, like you said, I would never actually make it like my sole thing, because I would never put my business in someone else's hands, basically. So, but
that's exactly it. There's always someone else working your business. I mean, they're very great. Their customer service, which I think we can touch on now, is fantastic. So let's say you don't understand why an item is priced at whatever price point. You send an email, they're going to communicate with you. You can jump on the phone, text, whatever you want to do. If you have a consultant, you can text them. Like, it is just, it is great in terms of customer service. I've always had a great experience, even if it was a negative experience and they lost an item, which has happened. They found it, but I thankfully was able to talk to someone, and I always felt like I was being heard, even though they couldn't find my item for a while. You know, I was okay with them then paying me out whatever they would have priced it at. So there's a lot of really great perks with their customer service that I think other platforms, even a reselling platform that Jack and I are on, don't have. Poshmark.
Yeah.
Poshmark. Where is your customer service, right? Like, a generated email and generated response is not customer service. You actually have to be able to have an actual conversation with someone. So you can easily reach out to them if you want to pull items off. I've done it right before. Well, no, right when the pandemic hit, I pulled everything off of The RealReal. They were super understanding of it. They said, okay, fine, no problem. And I didn't pay a dime. They just sent it back to me. And now I'm consigning everything again with them. So I love that aspect of The RealReal.
Yeah. I said that in my like original RealReal how-to, that they just have the literal best customer service mm-hmm. of like probably any reselling, consigning, whatever program I've ever used by far. They're super fast. Mm-hmm. They're super friendly. And like, you always leave the situation feeling like it was resolved. At least I always have. Like, you get your little like person, whatever you want to call them, like consultant. Your assistant.
Now they're all managers, I think. I feel like they're all managers now.
Yes, like consultant or whatever. And they are there to like call you, to text you, to email you. They will give you labels. They will get you price estimates before you even send things in. Yep. They will like get you a blank list to fill out. They will literally like, they literally can schedule like a UPS pickup if you wanted to do that. Like, they can literally do anything. They can connect you to who you need to be connected with if you have a problem. You can also email like just the normal customer service and they will get back to you. They say 2 to 3 days, but honestly it's usually like one. Like, it's fast.
Yeah, I agree.
If you don't even want to wait that long, you can call them. They're open for quite a long time and they are all super friendly. They all always figure it out for you. I've even seen on their website now, I think you can even chat with them live.
Yes, you can chat with them now. Mm-hmm.
Literally so many ways to reach them, and they're all super helpful. So like always they've been like amazing in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I would assume it's the same way in the store too. I think they just pride themselves on customer service given the type of clientele that they're trying to cater to. I mean, a lot of that plays into it too. I mean, they're catering towards, you know, a higher bracket in terms of clientele.
And like I said before, I think they do try to keep up that, like, we are a luxury, like, Chanel, Louis Vuitton thing. So they want to keep the, like, we cater to you feeling.
Yeah, I agree. You can definitely tell in the way they do things, the way they package everything. Everything comes back to you in a duster bag, like, and pretty hangers. And I mean, and I reuse all that stuff. It's great for me. I'm like, great, just a little pair of shoes using this duster bag, you know? It's wonderful.
Exactly.
It's really, really great. But yeah, so anything you want to do, you've got customer service there for you, you're good to go. So everything's listed now, right? We've got it processed, we've got the items with the prices, we've taken things back. Now items are listed. You basically just have to check that website on your app or on the app all day, every day to see what's sold for how much. There's a little bit of a delay. I will say that it is a little frustrating that there is a little bit of a delay. So like you'll see an item bump up to like the top of your items list and you're like, oh, did it sell? Why is it up there? Did someone return it? Like you know, or did they change something? And then like 3 days later, you'll see that it sold. Like it doesn't update right away. That's my one thing that I don't like about it.
Yeah, I would say this is probably like moving ahead a little, but my one thing that like can frustrate me is like sometimes you get excited because an item sells, but people get 2 full weeks to open a return if they want to. And obviously it's not posh, so they don't need to like, it's because it has a flaw. Like they can return it just because they don't want it.
Right.
Which can be frustrating because you get excited about like a huge sale. And then in literally like 13 days, it says return requested. So that can be frustrating. But I mean, again, that probably has to do with their whole, like, we're a luxury seller. Like, you can feel, like, safe and comfortable buying from us because you can return whenever you want and we'll help you and blah, blah, blah.
I have a theory. Yeah. You know when, because the payouts for the Real Real are always on the 15th of the month. So every 15th of the month, they're going to pay you out whatever your commission is. If you have a coat, for example, this happened to me, that sells on the 30th. Person has until the 14th of that month to return it. I think they wait until the 15th for the people that pay, that buy things out at the end of the month so that they can pull that commission real quick out of your little account before it deposits.
That's exactly what I think too. I think they don't want to pay you before there could possibly be a return for something else, which I guess makes sense because like, what would they do then? Would they put you almost like in the negative for the next month?
I've always thought that too. Right.
So that's probably just their way of like guaranteeing that.
Right. Because if it's
what you actually earned, basically.
Right. So even if it's 31 days, you would still on that 15th, they could easily pull before they push the transaction through. They'll just pull whatever it is, that money out. So that's my theory behind it. Because there's no real reason why it would have to be the 15th. It's just, it makes sense for their business model.
Yeah. I think so.
Because I've had that happen a couple of times where someone returned it like right at the 14th day mark. And then I went to go look at my pay and I was like, oh, well, what happened there? It was supposed to be 300 and instead it's 80, you know? Exactly. So someone returned something, which is fine. You know, I think that eventually Poshmark will probably change and accept more returns, like more like an eBay style than what they do now. Because I think eventually when they become public and all that, they're not gonna have a choice. You're gonna have to run like a real business. You know, this whole not accepting returns because of fit is not gonna fly. See what happens.
I've had things with the Real Real. Literally, I had this one puffer coat and it was by Norma Kamali. Mm-hmm. And it was literally returned, I think, 6 times before it finally sold. It was the most annoying thing. I was literally like at the point of like, I don't care how much I get for this. Like, stay away. Like, someone keep it. Like,
I had a similar experience. I had found a Max Mara cashmere coat last winter, and it was a year before it sold. It got returned so many times, and I had reached out, I can't tell you how many times, and I was like, there's something wrong. I think it's your sizing. I think you have it listed as an extra small, but the size is really a medium, because I had tried it on and it almost fit me, and I'm like a large, extra large, so it almost fit me. So clearly it's not an extra small unless it's super oversized, which it would never be that oversized. Finally, they kept saying, no, we checked the measurements, it's fine. Finally, after the 5th return, I said, you need to pull it and you need to check it or put it in one of your stores and have someone try it on. Because clearly something's wrong. And they ended up putting it in the New York store. I think the Soho one. And it sold within like a couple of days because someone was actually able to put it on. And then I noticed on the website, they had changed it to size medium. So I was right all along. They just didn't check the measurements.
That's kind of what I thought. I was like, the fit of this must be weird. I mean, I hadn't tried it on because like it wasn't my size or anything at all. But I was like, the fit has to be like weird or something. Because like there's no reason it should be returned like 6 times. Right. Like something's
with it. Something's wrong with this item. Right.
That's even exactly. If it had like a tiny flaw, you wouldn't think 6 people would be like that upset about it. Like
no. And I've sold, let's talk about flaws for a second, because I've sent them stuff that, like, so I'm a big fan of like looking at the coat section and everything, because that's where I get the bulk of my money. If I send things to the RealReal, is from my coats that I send. Okay. I've sent things that have little flaws and they still take it and they sell and they stay sold. They don't come back to me. So
yeah.
You know, people, even though they're buying luxury, are okay with maybe instead of spending $3,000 on a coat, they're spending $300 on a coat and it has a couple little flaws, not a big deal. So I'm sometimes deterred from sending them things that have flaws. As long as it's not glaring and doesn't take away from the piece itself, they accept things for the most part.
Yeah, they, because they do, I mean, they have like a ranking system on like condition and their description, which yes, I will say, I guess that's another possible little negative about them. They do not have the most detailed description or condition.
Not at all.
At all. Not at all. They literally will say like good condition, minor pilling, or like minor wear. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Like, but yeah, they'll rank stuff like good, very good, excellent, and pristine. So like they will take things that are not spotless. Like I've even seen them, I think I've sent them something that had like a little stain. And they actually took like a fifth picture of like a close up on it, which they don't do very often.
No,
yeah. They don't do that often. They did. So like they don't need like perfection for sure.
No, they don't. I think that's another misconception. People think that everything has to be perfect that you send to them. And I mean, they will, some of them will be sticklers about it. Whoever's opening up your box, they can be like, there was this pair of UGG sneakers they sent back to me 2 weeks ago that had a little smudge on the white platform part of the sneaker. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I whipped it off with the magic eraser and sent it back and they accepted it. So that can happen too. But then they accept things and you're like, all right, this has glaring like moth holes all over the sleeve, but sure. I mean, you want to price it at $400, I'm okay with it.
It so depends on the person. Cause sometimes they will just like say something is like, they act as if it's just like destroyed and you get it. And there's like a teeny little mark and you're like, okay. And then sometimes, you're like, should I really send this?
Yeah.
And then they like
step embarrassing.
Right away.
I know. I do it all the time. I'm like, do I really need to send this in? I can just try to sell it myself. I'm like, well, just try it. What's the worst that can happen? They send it back to me. Fine. But I'm a big fan of just get your returns and send it right back in and just keep sending it until they finally accept it. That is my motto.
That's what I do. Very rarely do things kind of like leave my cycle of like back and forth to them. Every once in a while I'll be like, okay, it's been like 6 times. This is kind of a stretch. I guess I'll donate it. But like, usually it's just like back and forth and back and forth.
And eventually they take it. Eventually. Yeah. It just depends on who's opening it. I always wonder, like, what if the same person's opening it and they're like, this chick again with this item? Like, I already come back to you.
I know. I always think that I'm like, am I on like this blacklist on the wall? And they're like,
really?
They're like, I've seen this 14 times. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they just get tired of it and they accept it. They're like, I just don't want to see this again. So I guess we'll take it.
I always think that, like, I wonder what they think about us behind the scenes when they see the same names all the time. But again, they have probably such a big team that it's probably not the same person.
Yeah, I know. I know. I think that time, like, Yeah, I know. You don't really know how many like people they have, like employees that go through stuff. I'd be really interested to know, like, is it just like 12 people or is it like a huge team that like you have a different person every time?
I don't know. I always wonder that too. Like, it's always like this behind the scenes thing where like I have like a vision in my head of like it's a group of 6 people sitting at a table kind of thing and they're going.
Me too.
That's the vision that I have, but it's probably not that.
No, I always am like, there's got to be like 10 people that actually open the boxes. But then I'm like, okay, but they also get in so much stuff. Like, there's no way
Look at
it's like.
Jeffree Star, who donated his entire closet of things. Do you remember that? And they actually came in and they took
Was
it
like a
all.
SWAT.
Yes,
It was
literally.
literally like a beehive. They were like,
And they just were taking things off the shelves. I mean, he donated everything. I mean, I think he donated most of the proceeds to charity and whatnot. But either way, like, think about there was only three people, was it? Well, no, there was
I
three like
know.
main people that they showed, but then was like teams of guys coming in,
Yes,
like dusting
literally.
and everything, just
Yes,
taking it
tons
all.
of people.
So I'm sure there's lots of people that work there. I'm just keep the vision in my head of the six people at a table
I have the
talking
exact
crap
same
about me the
thing.
whole time.
Yes. Just like sighing when they read my label. They're like, great.
Yeah, this guy again.
They just dump it into a bag to send back. They literally don't even like look.
We're just gonna put discolored for all of these.
Yeah, really. Select all discolored.
Yep, these are the things that go through my head. But the railroad was started by a woman. I forget her name.
Oh yeah.
What
I
is
don't
her?
remember her name either, but yes, I knew
It's
that
her,
a
like, it's her baby, but she was in another startup that I don't think either she moved away from or didn't do well. She has a TED talk and she has something else out there too. And she talks about like why she started it and like what her vision was behind the RealReal and how they're trying every day to get better. And I have to say, like, I really do think they try. I know there's a lot of negative things out there about them if you've bought from them, but it's just like any other business. Like if you buy from Macy's or Nordstrom or anywhere, there's gonna be
things slip.
mishaps. It's gonna
Yeah.
happen.
I
It's like
know.
you're walking into
I've seen it's
Chanel.
always yeah. People always will like freak out and be like, oh my gosh, no one's gonna like shop the RealReal again. Did you see this article that's like a Christian Dior bag was purchased and it was fake and someone wrote this huge article about it? And I'm like, every time stuff like that happens, the RealReal is very like open. Like they're not like, oh, we have no comment or anything. Like they talk about it and they literally this one article that I'm thinking of with the Christian Dior, they like let the person come in and see how it all works. And they were like, we're gonna like work on this. We like take this seriously. Obviously, you get a return. You can, I think, even if you question authenticity, they'll let you return it, even if it said no returns allowed on
Right.
this item,
Yeah,
which
I agree.
that is usually true for almost everything. Even if you buy stuff deep, like 80% clearance and you get it, and there's like a flaw that they didn't say. It's supposed to not be allowed to be returned, but they'll still do it if,
Yeah.
which again,
Yeah.
great customer service once again.
Yes, one more time for those who didn't hear us the first time. Great customer service. You should look into it. Even if you're scared, because I know a lot of people are nervous about venturing into the RealReal because they just don't think they have the right pieces for it or whatnot. I say just set up a consultation. Just talk to someone, give them a call. Like you can set up a time and tell them why you're nervous, the things that you're question, like different questions that you have that maybe we haven't touched upon. Show them items that you have out of curiosity, like, hey, would you even take this? Is something that you guys would consider? Or don't do any of it and just get a box and put things in and send it and try it. Like, it's just like thread up. It's unless you try it, you really don't know the process. We can explain it all day long and share our experiences,
I
but
know.
you need to go through it.
Yeah.
It's one of
It's
those
kind of
things.
a learning process. I mean, it's not like it's difficult, but it's a learning process and it's pretty easy to pick up on and start to figure out how to work it.
Yeah. Now, some people might say, okay, in my area, I live in a very rural area and I can't find items to source for the RealReal, or I don't find those kind of brands for the RealReal. Like, what do you say to those people?
I mean, every once in a while, I will like order stuff, like say from Posh, that I know that they'll mark up high, and I'll send it in, make a profit still, even after paying whatever the person charged plus Posh's shipping. If you, again, if you like learn the process, you can kind of figure out what you can do that with. Also, I mean, when we're where I am right now, which is Iowa, kind of in the middle of nowhere. Yes, we usually source in Minnesota, but right now in Iowa. There's like nothing here and it's rural. It seems like no one has luxury items, but I can still find some stuff, especially like vintage stuff, and especially some of those just like brands that like no one really knows. You can still find stuff. It's just you really have to get that whole like Rolodex of like designers down, and I can guarantee you could basically go to any store and find an item that they would take.
I like, agree with you. And you're really in the most random places.
Yes. Yes. And they really do take a lot of brands. It might not seem like it, but like they take tons and tons of different brands.
Yeah. Their list is really long. I don't even know everything that they take. A lot of times I find random brands in Savers or Salvation Army and I'll be like, what is this? I'll look it up. And the first thing that comes up is the Real.
Yes.
The first one that comes up. And I'm like, all right.
Honestly, usually like half my box I send in is like me sending in a brand for like the first time that I just learned that they liked.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's really like an endless amount of items.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that people need to get out of that mentality of like, well, I live in this area and everyone just has mall brands. It's just Walmart and Target all the time. I beg to differ and think, and I want to challenge you to kind of go out there and actually look and see what's on the rack, because there are people all over the place that have money or don't have money and just like to spend it on fashionable things that buy from Farfetch and buy from Revolve and buy from Nordstrom. Like, it's everywhere. I don't care where you live. It does exist.
Yes, it really does. I know. And it's always hard for me to read that from people when, like I said, I'm literally living in like nowhere, Iowa right now. And I've literally found like Teeks, Rothy's, a Prada bag, Gucci pants, like it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yes, it obviously less frequent. I can agree with that, but I would never say like I can never find anything. Like you can, you just really have to look at maybe harder than other people do.
Right. And then I think using Poshmark or Mercari or eBay is a way to gain other luxury goods, or even Facebook Marketplace, like your mom does, which is crazy. Yes. You know, the fact that she even finds that stuff is crazy to me. I like I never check Facebook Marketplace, but I feel like Debbie probably like she haggles. I feel like she like goes back and forth.
She really does. Yes. She's also on it like all the time, but yeah, she found crazy good stuff. Like some clearly like rich lady, she found some like Fry boots that were listed for like 20. And she was talking to this lady about how like she was gonna come pick them up and whatever, and she wanted them. And the lady's just like, oh, I have another pair. Do you want two for the same price? And yes, she was please. Like, yes. And then she's like, oh, do you like knee-high boots? And my mom's like, kind sure. of. And then she's like, oh, well, I have some Stuart Weitzmans I can throw in for 25. I've never worn them and I still have the box.
What?
And I was like, Debbie.
It's I know, handed. Right? Like, that's so funny.
Is yeah so
but
like
I also think it's Debbie's personality.
It really probably is. Yeah, well, and Debbie sure as crap knew she was going to be like sending the stewards into the Real and selling the Fry herself, but she's like, oh yeah, I love knee-high boots.
I love
like
them.
Wow, they're that's all my bad. Size yeah.
What other boots do you have regular shoes too? I'll take everything.
Yeah, can I come in the house and look in your closet? Is there anything else you're selling?
That's so funny. But there are ways to do it, you know, and I think I will start using Facebook Marketplace more, because I do have some friends that use it for furniture purposes. I haven't done that yet because of where I am. We haven't moved yet, but for clothing, I always forget to look on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah,
but I do look on Nextdoor, and I have looked out on Nextdoor a couple of times.
Yeah, I haven't used Marketplace too much. Like I said in the video yesterday, like I found like an Anthro Nuitag bag for 15 once. But like when I go on, I do see a lot of people sell like Patagonia and like North Face and Lulu. So I think it is a like viable place if you're looking to pick up. I mean, you have to obviously pay up more than a thrift store, but if you want to pick up some like newer, nicer stuff, I think it's a good option.
Yeah, well,
not many people
let's
utilize.
Be real though, in today's thrift store, the prices that we're finding at Facebook
Marketplace
are the same price that we're finding in the thrift store.
Exactly. That's why honestly I've become such a huge consignment store shopper, because I'm just like, if a consignment store has like a half off or even 25% off sale, half the time that's the same price as the thrift store, and this stuff has been checked for quality and it's usually a lot nicer, not dirty, half the time it's new tag. Like
I know.
Don't need to be a Goodwill when I can just go to a consignment store sometimes.
No, it's so true. And it's like, and so then there's like this big controversy, like it's the resellers that are making it so expensive. No, it's, I honestly think it's just the year itself. I think it's just been 2020 as a whole. They know that younger generations are shopping at thrift stores. They know that people will pay up for certain things, especially vintage. They lost out on a lot of money in the beginning of the year, and they have to recoup their costs, and that's the only way to do it.
Well, yeah, thrifting is like super trendy now. Like people that aren't resellers are like thrifting more than ever. And I have never understood the concept of like Goodwills and Savers marking stuff up, especially Goodwills, because literally all that stuff, well, most of that stuff that's marked up goes to the bins because no one's going to pay that much for it. And then they get nothing for it.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
That does not make any sense. Just mark it at the more affordable price and get something for it versus like marking it way up and then you have to get like by the pound price.
I know. None like, of it makes sense. And I also don't understand, this is just us venting now, why employees at the thrift store get mad when they see resellers. Why are you mad at me?
Yeah.
Why are you mad at me? And I really think some of them get mad because they want those items. So like Savers, for example, it has to be on the floor for 3 days before they can buy it. And I do think that some of the younger girls get upset when they see you picking things up, but it's like, hey,
yeah,
here, like you sign that disclosure when you become an employee at the thrift store.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I'm going to get it.
Yeah. I know. I've never got that either. Cause it's also like resellers are like a huge chunk of Goodwill's income. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're still getting the price they asked for. Who cares what I'm going to go do with it after?
Right.
Like, that's kind of like, still venting. That's kind of like with people, with like online arbitrage, if you're going to do it from like Posh or like Mercari. Some people like feel bad that like, oh, I'm buying it from this person and then I'm marking it up. But like the thing is, the person still got what they were asking for it.
Correct.
Like, unless you maybe lowballed and like really pressured them, that's... a little shifty.
Yeah.
But like if you bought it for what they had it listed for, they got what they wanted. You can go do whatever you want. Like
right.
Why does it matter?
There's no non-disclosure that you sign as a buyer when you're buying these items.
Yes.
It's when you are an employee for an establishment, or you know, you're somehow involved, right? You're somehow intertwined in some type of establishment that limits you. There's the non-disclosure in there. You cannot do this. Like you can't take clearance goods and sell it yourself. For example, I worked at Walgreens, you worked at Walgreens. They would highly frown upon you buying clearance items to sell them. Not to say people don't do it, but if you got caught, loss prevention would come in and you'd either get a slap on the wrist or you'd be fired. It's one or the other. And most companies are like that. I know if Savers catches you reselling and you work there, they will fire you.
Really? I mean, that makes...
They will fire you. Well, I think it's mostly for the people that work in production because you're able to price it how you want to price it, essentially. Like, this is really great. I'm going to price it at $5.99 or I'm going to price it at $60 and then I'm going to come in and buy it half off at $30 and know I can flip it for however much, right? I think there's a lot of that happens.
A lot of consignment stores are that same way too. Like if you use your employee discount and you buy something, you are not supposed to resell it. And if you do, you usually would be like terminated.
Yeah.
Which like I said, I mean, like it makes sense because like you got the extra discount and you didn't really buy it for yourself. Like you bought it to profit and whatever.
Right.
But,
and that's because you work there. But as a seller who doesn't work there, I can do whatever I want.
Exactly. Yes. And like I said, they're still getting what they asked for. Like, why does it matter what it someone's doing
matter.
After?
It doesn't matter, but I think that they know who we are now. And that plays into it. For example, the other day when I found a bunch of luxury goods at the thrift store, there was like a swarm of employees literally following me around and they stopped stocking because I was grabbing everything. So, I mean, fine. But I'll just come back another day. No big deal. Stop today. I'll just come back the next day. No problem.
Did they think you were going to like run out with it or something?
I don't know. Maybe because I had a carriage filled to the top.
Maybe.
And I was tempted to get a second carriage to like sort. And I was like, they're really going to like, they're going to lose it if they see me grab a second carriage.
Yeah.
So I made it work. But yeah, I mean, they were like surrounding me like hawks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I will say that's one thing. We're on such tangents now, but
I know,
I'm
but
like,
it's fine, right?
More. That's one thing I really like about like shopping at like the bins is I feel like it's understood that like everyone there is a reseller, basically. Like It's I feel like there's just less of like that frowned upon feeling that you get when you go to like thrift stores or consignment stores, because like it's wholesale buying. Like usually you don't need to fill your closet like three times a week filling a cart. Like,
right. Hundreds of pounds at a time.
Yeah, seriously.
Does your bins, and then we can circle back to where we were. But does your bins do what Denali's bins do, where you can buy like an actual pallet and then sort through it?
I don't believe so. That'd be kind of, I've always like kind of wanted to ask, but I mean, I've never heard of someone getting it that way, and I've never seen them like offer that or something. I mean, they have so many pallets. I'm sure they could. Maybe they just don't know that that's like something that other ones do. But yeah, I don't think they do.
Yeah, the ones around here don't do it either, but I'm always curious, like if the one that is 2 hours away from me did it, I would absolutely invest that money into it and do it, because even if I don't find the most amazing things, I can at least double my money.
Yeah. You know? Like what how much are they usually for people? Like $200 or something?
Yeah, like $200, $300. Like it depends on where you live. Yeah. But even still.
Okay, like say I find like five even decent things, I can make my money back. Like it's
exactly. It's but really just experience that, like digging through and actually seeing like what the waste is.
Yes.
You know, I think that's the most important thing. And I think using different services, going back to like the RealReal and ThredUp, I really do like how they promote, I think, what is that on the RealReal? How many gallons of water or liters of water you
have? Oh yeah, everything says like the miles driven that you say and like the gallons of water and the carbon.
Yeah, so this one says, I had 16,992 liters of water saved by my consignment. So I like seeing that stuff. Makes me feel good that I'm giving these things another place to go to. And I think just seeing the breakout of that on a website, like we don't see that on Poshmark, where it's, you know, it's a transaction, where on different platforms, even ThredUp does it, like you feel like you're being sustainable.
Yeah. And it's really cool, because I think it's like once a year, the RealReal will send you like a year summary or year in review or something. And they'll literally say how many gallons of water, like the whole year that you saved. That's always crazy. Just like mind blowing. Like it's like a ton. Just like, it is cool. It puts it more just like, wow, I'm like, while I'm like generating profit, obviously for myself, I'm like actually making somewhat of a difference too.
Yeah. And like, I think because instead of just going to the dump. No, but it's true. And I think that luxury goods don't get dumped as often. But people that can afford these types of luxury goods do dump them when they're ready for the next new coolest thing. And to be able to find them and give them another home is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
I still find, way more often.
Yeah. I still find luxury stuff in the bins. So like it was one step away from the literal dump. So
it's true.
Which is also crazy. When you think of the stuff that did slip by.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about it, because it just makes my head hurt when I think about the things I've found at the bins before. And I'm like, someone really threw this and didn't like, no big deal. Like, we're just going to toss it. I can't imagine. Maybe it's because we don't come from that lifestyle, right? Like a lot of that plays into it. Like we don't live that type of lifestyle. And even if I might have a couple pieces that are luxury, it's not like I go around flaunting it or like, you know what I mean? Like if I wear it, it's because I'm confident in it and I love it and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, there's certain brands that you love, and you know, and I know that you love certain luxury brands. Just like I love certain luxury brands. Yeah. And the day that I buy myself a Chanel purse, I'll probably show it off a little bit, but like, I would never get, like, that thing will be like an heirloom to my family. Like, it'll get passed down generations, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very different. Or for you, for example, I know you've sold a lot of stuff that you've bought that's luxury. You've either sold it back to the RealReal or you've sold it yourself to buy that next whatever it is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I know, I can't just like go donate it.
Can you imagine that? Go donate that Louis Vuitton backpack, all right?
Yeah.
Like, go to Poshmark and go donate it.
It's just like crazy to me. That's insane. Like all those shoes that you found.
I know.
I'm just like, the fact that someone got no money for that. It's just.
I want like the backstory behind all the luxury things.
I know.
I want to know why. Yeah. I want to know it all. And do you have more?
Yes, exactly.
I will pay you to take it all. You know?
Well, isn't it crazy to think of, like, that some of that stuff, like those shoes and stuff, possibly end up in the bins, and then possibly no one ran into it that knows the brand, and it's literally like who knows where in like the literal dump right now. Yeah. Something that was originally like thousands.
I know. Thousands of dollars just sitting in soil. It's crazy to really think about it. And that people keep saying resellers are bad, but like, no, we're not.
Yeah. I know. That's just crazy. I don't know how anyone can logically like think that and like believe. That's just like crazy.
It's just people not understanding what the actual process is.
Yeah. Or like that latest argument of like that we're like taking this stuff from like people that need to shop thrift stores. I'm like, you go to the bins and you tell me that we're taking all of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Literally, there's still too much. There's too much. Like, too much times infinity. Like, there's just so much stuff.
Right. And I think
that's just like so ridiculous.
I think when you think, like, if you really think about it, like, the things that we're taking are what sell for us, right? There's still plenty of clothes in the thrift store that I'm leaving behind that I would absolutely buy myself to wear to work or wherever, right? There's plenty of stuff. Plenty.
Yes.
Just because I took those few anthropology pieces does not mean there's nothing now for the next person to come
and take. I know. Just because like 30 people come in that resell doesn't mean there's suddenly nothing left. Like,
because they're constantly stocking, aren't they?
I was going to say, our donation lines have been full since all of them started taking donations again. Yep. Like, it's been like parades.
I know. It's the same here. And then you look outside and it's just fit. Like, all those bins that they wheel them in, like, it's just filled. And things are just dumped on the sidewalk. Like, the amount of waste that we as Americans produce is just, it's bad.
I know.
That's like a whole episode in itself, the amount of waste.
I know.
I need to have Nick on. That's what I need to do, because Lori did that live with Nick. I need to have him on the podcast with Lori, and we need to sit down and talk about all the waste that happens, because it's just out of this world, the amount of waste produced in the country. It's crazy. All right, back to the real world.
Every location.
Back to what we're really talking about.
Now that we've done tangent on Canada.
Yeah, sorry guys. No, people like when we start talking about real things too. They're okay with it. They know how it works here. Is there anything that you want to add, Jack, that we maybe didn't touch upon, or some words of advice maybe for those who are new to it and have really wanted to start the journey?
I would just say, like, just give it a try. Just send in some stuff that you're not too like overly attached to, that you're not too worried about, and just give it a try and see how it works. Talk with your like consultant person. And then if you like it and whatever, and you really want to make it a source of income, like I said, it's a lot of learning. It's a lot of memorization, but, and it's a lot of Googling, but like at the same time, it's fun. Like, I really enjoy learning it all and like getting this new list of brands and like figuring this brand out and learning a new brand and whatever. So it's, if you really want to make it like a big source, it's possible. And it just takes time and learning, kind of like everything.
Yeah, it's just like everything else. I think the opportunity is there for everyone to do it. Check the brand list, figure out what it is that you have that you can send in, get your feet wet. You know, you can always reach out to Jack. You can always reach out to me. I mean, we are by no means experts. I mean, we have experience, obviously, in doing it. Jack has way more experience than me. But just try it out and see how it goes for you. And then maybe you do it again. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's a learning experience for you. Maybe this will, I don't know, maybe you'll branch off into something else. Maybe you'll do consignment with just a consignment store in your area, because you could do that too. But I think it's worth trying. I think you should know what you're, you know, just like we discussed, the expectations are and pricing and all of that. And just know that you're working with a great company with great customer service. So you shouldn't be afraid.
Yes. But yeah, definitely. If anyone has questions, they can message either of us. I'm always like, people always are saying they're going to start for the first time. And I send them like the blank list and I tell them how to get a label and stuff. So I'm totally willing to answer questions if anyone has any.
And then maybe he'll do a YouTube video soon.
Yes, I should. I just need to figure out like a more like interesting layout or something. Like, it's just too like.
I think you should do a video on what you're sending. Like, sit down and actually show the items that you're sending and why you're sending it kind of thing. Maybe do something like that.
Back in the day, I used to do, it was called like, what you packing or something I called them. And so I would like, literally like walk through what I was like packing up to ship to them. So maybe I should do something more like
that. I think
that.
You should do that. I think people want to see that. I think that's what people are most curious about. Like, what are you sending and why are you sending it? And like when I did the stories about it, that's what people were asking me for the most part. Like, okay, well, why'd you send them this? And what do they usually price that at kind of thing? So I think that will be your little in to get back into making real videos. I think people will appreciate that.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I need to somehow also get Ryan to be in it too. I think some people get upset when it's like a video of just one of the two of us. I'll just have him sit in the background. Just like
Ryan can just hold up the stuff then.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. He's like the assistant.
Yes, that's exactly it. He can make his little faces in the background and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jack, for coming on again on the podcast and doing this episode with me. It was fun to just sit down and chat with you as always.
Thank you for having me on. I had a good time.
Yes, same here. And thank you everyone for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.